Pledge of allegiance this evening, ask Mark to go ahead and lead the pledge of allegiance, after which your invocation is to be given by Monica Senior.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let us pray. Dear Lord our God, bless the leaders of this, our city. Teach them to rely on your strength and accept their responsibilities to our community, that they may make wise decisions for the well-being of our society and serve faithfully the peoples residing within. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. So we have a couple items here, ceremonial items to take care of this evening. First thing we have is a certificate of service. The City and Borough of Randall, Alaska presents a certificate of service to James Stowe for his service and dedication on the Borough Assembly for various terms between October 2010 and June 2014. If you can pass it over so she can get that to me. A certificate of service. The City and Borough of Randall, Alaska presents a certificate of service to Mark Mitchell for his service and dedication on the Planning and Zoning Commission from December 2013 to June 2014. I think this will be easy to deliver.
Very short service. Thank you.
That's all we have under that item. A roll call, please.
Assemblymembers Blake, Peterson, Decker,
here.
McCloskey,
here.
Mitchell,
here.
And Mayor Jack.
Here. Amendments to the agenda. Just like to note that under item 13, F is approval of the SEPA formal transition agreement. So I don't see any purpose in having executive session on that same item. Item four, conflict of interest. Does anyone have a conflict of interest on any of the items? Consent agenda.
Move to approve consent agenda items 6A, 7A, 7B, 7C, 7D, 7E, and 7F.
Second.
Then moved in second. Any discussion? Poll vote, please.
Assembly members McCloskey?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 8, Borough Manager's Report.
Couple items. There was a written report that was given out, and would like to recognize some city personnel for their, we usually do 5-year increments and different milestones. Tim Bunis, 25 years, and this is sometime during the 2014 year. Tom Gillen, 5 years. Terry Henson, 15 years. Carl Johnson, 15 years. Laura Masson, 5 years. Steve Miller, 15 years. And Margaret Blarma, 25 years. I'd also like to recognize the Boy Scouts. Tyler Eagle, with some help from Matthew Cobalt and Brendan Eagle and Mr. Kading, actually took it on themselves to replace all the wood out here on the picnic tables. It was getting pretty tough shape, and they paid for the wood and did the labor to replace it, and I'd like to thank them for that. That was Tyler's Boy Scout project, and like I said, that will be well used out there. A couple projects that are underway, the Kazzyar Street, a lot going on up there. They're drilling and shooting and starting to get temporary water for people, so when they tear up the water main, people will have that. And our thanks to the people that live up there for it will be putting up with this for about 4 months, but hopefully when it's done, the water and sewer will be new and we'll have a concrete street for them that should last a long time. So, long overdue. We also issued the bid out here on the concrete for a little bit of more work out here on the Marine Center. And also today we attempted to pull a 300-ton boat. They had some difficulties there, and so they're going to give it another try in the morning. But it's the largest boat that we've ever attempted, and it's right at the upper limit of our new lift. So it's a tugboat that they were, I think it had some to do with the balancing of the where the weight was distributed. So the tide was starting to drop. So anyway, they're going to give it a try tomorrow, and hopefully that will work. But it's right at the 300-ton limit, so it's going to pretty much max the machine out, I think. But it'll be interesting to see if it works. So.
We don't hope. We know.
There's some other projects, things going on. Most of the new projects that we have, that we got from the legislature, most of those, we're trying to get some of the summer things done, and we haven't even got the grant reports and agreements yet from them. So most of that will be winter work when the construction slows down, and we'll start doing RFPs and to get the engineers on board and that kind of thing. So anyway, there's a fair amount going on. The pump stations, we didn't have enough money to do both of them, but we do have money to redo the one at the power plant there. There's our main sewer pump stations. And that one's, 35 years old? Yeah. They don't make the parts anymore, and so we were getting to the point where we were almost going to have a disaster if something, everything went bad at the same time there. So anyway, we're hoping to at least get one done and move towards the other one. But what's that?
Maybe a partial one.
Maybe a partial, yeah. But that's important because if something happens there, all the sewage from town goes out in the end of the bay, and then we're fined and all kinds of stuff like that. So anyway, that's kind of the big things. Oh, one last thing. The fire department, with the assistance of the shop, got our pumpers up to snuff. We have to do a couple pump tests for our ISO rating. And basically, the ISO folks, they're the people that rate fire departments around the country. I think they do 50-some thousand of them, the last stat I saw. And they rate fire departments from 1 to 10. And if you get a 1, that means everything in that fire jurisdiction is sprinkled. And, I mean, it's like maybe a campus would be where they have their own fire department and all, every building sprinkled. And so, but we're trying to get a 3 and remain at a 3. And that puts us into the top probably 10% of all the ones that they rate. So that's very good, and it's a reflection of your insurance premiums for fire insurance. So it is important to the community but they've done a lot of hard work, and they've worked with the ISO people, and they've worked with the, like I said, the shop has done a lot of work to help get the pumps up to snuff to do it. There's a couple little issues where they weren't performing like we hoped, and so, but we've got those things fixed, and I think we're in good shape, and I think they have to do one more. And the ISO guy I actually worked with has gave us a year to kind of do these different things. And he said, if you did, you'll be a 3. And so, and then that lasts for 10 years. So, but anyway, hats off to both the fire department and the shop for making that happen. So that's about it.
I just got one comment.
Sure.
From Kazzyar Street. Many people probably know that Linda and Monty Buness lived down at the end of that street for many years, and they're now moving to Palmer. So I guess we were just waiting for them to leave.
To pave it, yeah.
They're moving to Palmer?
No, it's long overdue, and I'm happy for those people that we can get pavement. But yeah, they missed out on the pavement, so.
Thank you. Any questions or anything? Item 9, Borough Clerk's file.
Well, in addition to my report, I have a couple of things. First, KSDK has organized a roundtable Q&A session for the House District 36 candidates. And this event will take place here at City Hall next Tuesday, I believe, on the 29th, between 1 and 2 p.m. The public is urged to attend and ask questions. And also, I have noticed this event is a possible quorum, so if the Assembly wants to attend, I absolutely encourage you to attend. And then the second thing is that you all have before you this evening a letter from our librarian, KJ Bush, informing Jeff and I of her retirement effective January 1st, 2015. And Kay has requested that I read her letter aloud for the public. So can I have permission to do that?
Go ahead.
I would like to inform you that I will be retiring effective January 1st, 2015. I have been employed at the public library for 35 years and have enjoyed serving as Wrangell's librarian. The ongoing support by the administration, the public, and the staff has been outstanding and greatly appreciated. All of these factors have created a vibrant and vital library that encourages lifelong learning and provides exceptional resources to access the ever-changing world. I want to emphasize that I have thoroughly enjoyed leading the development of our community library and wish to thank all of those who have assisted me in various challenges over the years. My time here at the library has been very fulfilling and rewarding. If I can assist in the transition of hiring and or training of my predecessor, please let me know. Sincerely, KJ Bush, librarian.
Thank you.
Yes. I'll give everybody a little trivia here. We've only had two librarians in the last 70 years, and they both have the same birthday.
That's weird.
Really?
So that's the requirement of the next one. You've got to work here 35 years, and you've got to have October 2nd as a birthday.
All right. That's going to be a tough one, huh? Wow.
And that's all I have.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions or comments?
Man.
Item 10, Mayor and Assembly reports and appointments. Any of the Assembly members have any reports? Okay. The only thing I have is that we went to the hospital board meeting. Since we don't have a liaison, I went to the meeting myself. And they did pass their... The board passed their budget, which we have before us this evening. And there were a few other items, but generally just basically housekeeping. There will be some more coming out probably after their next meeting. Item 10B, appointment to fill a vacancy on the Borough Assembly. We have one letter of interest from Becky Green.
That's it. I move to appoint Becky Rooney to fill the vacancy on the Borough Assembly for the unexpired term until October 2014.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? Oh, vote please.
Assembly members Decker?
Yes.
McCloskey?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack.
Yes.
Thank you, Becky.
I think she's going to do a fine job. The next item we have is 10C, appointment of an assembly member as a hospital board liaison. Anyone have an interest in that? I know you have, Pam, you have a problem with that.
That's a really tough
thing. With your schedule?
No.
I would suggest that we postpone that again until Becky, you know, is here and she may have.
Good idea.
You may have an interest.
I will go ahead and fill in that position.
Oh.
For temporarily until at probably the next election when we get a full board again.
That works. Okay.
So, somebody's got a problem with that.
Thank you, Dave.
Yeah.
Nope, it's great.
So,
do we need a vote?
So just to be clear, I will not add it to the next agenda. I'll put you as the liaison until the next election.
Right, because that's only, what, 2 months away, basically?
Right. Right.
2.5 months
yep.
away. So. And we might have to change all of this. Yes. Okay. Next item, 10D. Appointment to fill a vacancy on the Thomas Bay Power Commission. And we don't have any letters of interest for that, do we?
No.
The 10E. Appointment to fill the vacancies on the Planning and Zoning Commission. And we do have two letters of interest. One from Christina Florschutz, and the other from April Hutchinson. And we have two vacancies. Unless there's an objection of some kind, I will go ahead and appoint those two persons to those two positions. Item 11, persons to be heard.
We have a motion to suspend the rules and
no persons to be heard, so we'll continue on to item, 1 second before we continue on. This item 13F is approval of the SEPA formal transition agreement. There is copies on the table there, and this come out late before after the agenda packets were put together. So the public may not have had, whoever's in here may not have had an opportunity to read through that. So at that, if anybody has any interest in speaking of that, right, we can add your names to the persons to be heard at this time.
I did, when the documents became available, I did update the website to include those in the packet as well.
Okay. I just want to make sure everybody has an opportunity. So no one here is interested in that, so we'll continue on with item 12. Unfinished business, we have none. Item 13, new business. Item A, discussion regarding changing the $1 million value for the sale or lease of borough property as defined in Charter Section 5-14, contracts and sales. Assembly Member Decker is the one that asked for this, and would you like to speak to that?
Sure. So basically, I thought maybe we should be thinking about this in advance and kind of have a conversation within the community. Personally, I think that the $1 million value is a bit low at this time. I think it's a good check and balance and for the public to be able to have this ability to vote on, you know, large pieces of either real property or personal property that the city owns and is selling. But it also requires sort of certain timing involved when you're moving projects forward. So I kind of want to throw it out there, see if other people had the same feeling. Some of the things I was thinking about when looking at this agenda item and thinking about, you know, what would the right dollar amount be, you know, in my mind, I was thinking about what is the city's, you know, annual expenses and revenues each year, what pieces of property do they own that are over the $1 million, you know, amount right now that this would apply to, and questions like that, you know, and maybe if we had some more of that information, maybe we could carry the conversation forward just by kind of collecting some information and then looking at it again.
Okay, you realize that that would take a charter change? It would have to go to a vote of the people? So we really can't take any action except the only action we could take would be to place it on the ballot as a referendum for a charter change.
Right, correct.
I think you're right. Thoughts there, though, of bringing forth some more information on what the property we own and what the property's possibility of selling would be a lot much better instead of actually
We can't get it on this ballot coming up. So this would be something for the future, and so we have time to look at it carefully, have a discussion in the public, get some input maybe. I mean, we have some projects coming forward on the potential with the Institute property, the potential with these new parcels that are coming to the borough, the land that we're getting from the state. There's been some discussions with Trident about the purchase of that belt freezer facility that they lease right now. And so I don't know if there, what else fits in that category. Jeff would probably know best, but those are just some thoughts. And, you know, so say, for instance, Trident came forward and put a proposal on the table to purchase, you know, that building, and then it was valued at, I don't know, $1.3 million or something, then it would have to go to the vote of the people, and we either would have a special election, which is, you know, cost some money, or wait until the following regular election.
It looks to me like if we go down this route, we're going to have to set some criteria and a process to follow in order to put it on the ballot. I mean, it's got to be certain categories. I think that whole thing needs to be looked at of how we handle that. And I agree with you. You know, if we've got something that's, you know, for instance, it has to benefit the community. Money has to be designated to go in a certain place, whatever. But whatever rules have to be written, there should be some kind of criteria for that sale and for the proceeds and what happens to it. So it's kind of a bigger agenda. I think it's going to take a little time to work through this. But I agree, if you got $1 million sale or $5 million sale, we've got businesses that want to move in, and we can't have a vote for 2 years or a year, this could squelch it. But there again, maybe we can set some criteria for a lease purchase option until the vote. I mean, so there's things we can do. I think it's just going to have to sit down and kind of work through some of that stuff.
Yes.
Would this be something the Economic Development Committee could be tasked with, to maybe look at some of those things that, what's an appropriate dollar limit if we do it, and what are the, you know, the rules about if we do that, what are...
I think that'd be a good place to start.
You know, maybe that would be...
Right, they could hold the public hearings and all of that to have it.
Because they're looking at some of those things that may fall into this category. Mm-hmm.
That'd be a good idea.
Well, we're obviously not going to get this on the ballot.
No.
So you've got you've basically got almost a year before next year, and that's plenty of time. I don't think there's anybody that's more ready to do anything in that period of time. And I guess if you were, again, the worst case scenario, you could have a
special
election and deal with it then if someone was that big a hurry to do something. So. Mm-hmm.
So
economic development, that would sound, yep, that sounds like the way to go there, get them started.
So we wanted to basically direct the Economic Development Committee to look at this and bring back a recommendation to us. Okay.
I can send them a letter, or I can direct a letter for the Economic Development Committee.
Okay. Thank you. Any further on that?
And can you include that same language that you had? That'd be great. Thank you.
13B, approval of city Tideland annual five-year reassessments.
I move to approve the five-year city Tideland reassessments as presented.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Go ahead.
Jeff, maybe you could give us a little background on how they come to these values, like the per square foot value. They're a little bit different on each parcel. I don't know. I was just curious.
When the assessor does different assessments, some of them depend on the size. You can have two pieces of property right next to each other, but if one is a smaller one, it may be a higher per square foot. Mm. Or if you have another one that's huge, it might not necessarily be
or
the same.
Commercial private.
Or commercial, what you can do in it.
Okay.
So he looks at those things. He looks what the values are, what things are being bought and sold for, and tries to, you know, that's how they basically assessors do their work, is they try to get that data that's being, people are buying and selling things for, because it's supposed to be the market value. And then so he'll get a square footage value. And some of them can also be, it's kind of funny that if it's something the city filled, then it's, they're paying for a filled Tideland, versus if someone buys it and it's just tide coming in and then they fill it, they will forever only pay for the unfilled portion. Now, they may pay, when they pay property taxes, they may, you know, get something there. But, and we've had things where someone gave up a Tidelands and, or they got a Tidelands, they filled it, and then later they decided they weren't going to do it, gave it back to the city. Then 10 years later, come back and got it. Well, then they had to pay, they were paying a lease amount on their own fill, because at that point the city owned the fill, and it was a very good business move. But anyway, that's, I don't know if that answers your question. But.
Yeah, thank you.
How do the proposed rates compare to the present rates?
Do you have that or not?
I didn't see it in here.
I can tell you that generally property values in Wrangell have not gone up a lot in the last 10 years. I think a couple years ago here, I think it was maybe last year, there was a bump in values of land, but we were way below the required assessors, state assessors numbers. And so we were required by law to do that. But other than that, you know, sometimes we'll go 3 or 4 years before there's really a bump. So my guess is that if it is more, it's just substantially more. It's probably not hurt for a very small margin. Yeah, that's what I want to say.
Well, I think it'd be good to know what percentage of change we're making when we get these.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, if we've got a dramatic change somewhere, we need to kind of figure out why.
But I don't see anybody in the audience that came here to speak on this, any of these property owners, so I guess they're not dissatisfied with it,
probably.
At least at this point.
Yep.
Well,
some of them had for a long time.
In reading the conclusion, it says after adjustments from property differences, the available upland transactions indicate a range of value for the subject site from 59 cents to 77 cents per square foot. I don't know if that's...
I think that's just what he's basing his values on. But I don't think it says what.
So I would have to look at their actual file and see what they're paying now, and see what they would be paying with this increase.
But at this point, I don't think it's probably pretty much the same as it has been.
Well, I mean, you got
The one report you read, that's a 20% increase. If that's what I understood.
I think that was a range. I don't think that was from this to that. I think it was more of a range of the price per square foot of what the sales were that they were looking at. So, but we can get that information to you. But it probably is just a little bit higher than before, just because of that bump here a couple of years ago. So.
And this is a, these are on a scale, so every year there are so many that are assessed, and then there's the, and in their lease, it says that it
every
will be reassessed
years.
Every 5 years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they do expect it.
Anything further? Oh, okay.
Assembly Members McCloskey?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes.